March 25, 2024, it's the Walter Pedro Show.
Well, at times, but a bass player like Wilbur Ware, he's so inventive, man. You know, like he doesn't always play the dominant notes.
But whatever he plays is a suggestive note that gives you an idea of which way the changes are going.
Yeah, it may be. Yeah. It might not be. But Wilbur, he plays the other way sometimes. He plays things that are rather kind of, you know, they're foreign. Mm-hmm. Well, if you didn't know the song, well, you wouldn't be able to find it, you know, because he's superimposing things. He's playing around or under or over or something, you know, building tension. Mm-hmm. So when he comes back to it, you know, you feel everything sucks in.
Yep.
For Pedro Show, happy Monday. Start off the show, John Coltrane talked to August Bloom, 1958, June 15, about, yeah, listening to the bass player, what we like to hear, talked about. And the pollution, Khumbu Icefall, and all the way from now Portland, Oregon, because of those software engineers from Estonia with their scab invention, Jay Fox. Thank you once again for being on the show. And you got new pollution music from
a new location. Yep, new location, and the record is finally finished, and it's all done, and it sounds pretty damn good.
Well, we heard the Khumbu Icefall. Now, was it this when you were working south?
No, this was all part of the stuff. A lot of this stuff was written when I was down south, but it's like the Khumbu Icefall is all part of the whole Ed Hillary story on this whole thing. So we're, you know, working through the whole Ocean to Sky rock opera, so to speak. You know, the musical biography.
Okay, and you start with an ice fall.
Yep, that's, you know, right at the bottom of the mountain. So it's at the bottom of the peak of the mountain. So I figured that's a great place to start.
And how'd you get started on the piece? Is it all Oregon, or did it have Colorado beginnings?
I had Antarctica beginnings and New Zealand beginnings mostly.
Actually, yeah, of course. But you were probably experiencing then, right? No, you probably...
Oh, yeah.
Or what, making kind of demos on your leash or something, voice memo?
Well, we were doing demos all across. You know, we've talked about some of these demos in the past on previous shows.
That's right.
This is all just the final combination of everything we got done, you know. The pandemic really threw us for a loop, and that kind of put everything behind schedule, and, you know, people came and went, and then we finally got things finished the last couple of tracks this past fall out in Denver before I moved out here to Portland and got the last overdubs and the last basic tracks finished. And
oh, so none of this stuff is from Oregon.
No, I haven't done anything. I haven't started that yet here. That's a whole new chapter.
That's why I was kind of asking, did any of it, you know, melted the note. No, that's, you're saving that for next blast.
Yeah, I've got some things in the fire on that one.
We'll talk about that at the end of the show. Let's stick to here. Okay, yep. For the people who hadn't heard the other times been on the show talking about this, giving people news that was coming, like, pretend they never heard anything like this. Explain it.
Okay, so it's basically it's a musical biography of Edmund Hillary, the adventurer, climber, mountain guy. He's, you know, traveled the world, and he, basically my interest started with, you know, being a kid reading about mountain climbers and then ending up in New Zealand with his Antarctic thing. And then, you know, New Zealand, Ed Hillary is from New Zealand, so there's a lot of history there. And that kind of, you know, spiraled. I had some instrumental music I've been working on that had been, that I had, you know, didn't have real names for. So I kind of took some of the instrumental music I've been kicking around in the background and kind of started putting that together as a piece of music. And then, you know, one piece led to another and into another. And I was like, why don't we just tie all this together and make a story out of it? And then we started writing songs based on the thought process of, you know, this Ed Hillary in Antarctica, Ed Hillary in New Zealand, Ed Hillary in the Himalayas. And it kind of, you know, kind of morphed from there into what we got.
Okay, I want to play Yeti.
There was a time when the planets were in a line. I was working night shift. I stood outside and I felt so small. My breath rose freely on the air.
Thank you.
from Pedro's show, that chunk of music. Start off with Yeti from The Pollution. Then we had Above the Tree and Drum Ensemble to Beat with F.C. Lampedusa. Maxine Funke, Clear. Oakland Afternoon Ensemble, Berber Lines. The Fifth Movement of Winter in Amnesica for Ingram Marshall. The Dream Thieves, Snow Phonic, Neither, Norchestra. And finally, The Pollution with Komanglangma. Okay, Jay, you got something to say about Yeti? How does it fit into the schema?
Well, Yeti is interesting because that's one of the things that, you know, Ed Hillary had been climbing around the Himalayas and, you know, climbing Everest and all this stuff. And he became a spokesperson for, you know, the Himalayas and the people there, you know, because of his ties and schools he was building. And so he was invited by the Nepali government and the British Antarctic Survey or the National Geographic Society to, research the whole Yeti thing, because people had talked about seeing Bigfoot and there'd been all these rumors about Yetis in the Himalaya, and, you know, people had seen these mythical beasts, so to speak, and he happily took that on and went over to the Himalayas and trekked around for quite a few summers and some time and did his research looking for these Yetis. And of course they didn't really discover anything. They found some, you know, some skins in a monastery and a skull, and they, you know, took it back and had it researched, and it was turned out to be, you know, it wasn't a Yeti, it was a bear, was what they said, you know. But who really knows? And they, you know, they found footprints just like Bigfoot in America or Sasquatch up here in the Northwest. You know, there's people who live by it and people swear they've seen it, and people say they ain't got nothing. You know, so that was another one of his adventures that he was invited to be part of, because of his
you know, Foucault's Pendulum. Legend.
Pardon, what's that?
There's a book by Umberto Eco called Foucault's Pendulum.
No, I'm not familiar.
Well, you know, that's stuff about conspiracies, and the bottom line, you find out, I mean, somebody ends up getting killed and stuff, but it's not whether the conspiracy's real. The big bottom line is, like, people believe in it.
Right.
Okay. What about this Komanglangma? Is that the name in the local language there of Mount Everest?
It is. Komanglangma is, and it's sometimes pronounced Chulmulangma, is the Tibetan name for Everest. And the song past that, Sagarmatha, these are two pieces. They're all one song, basically, if you're looking at it. Because, again, all this whole record is kind of – it's like one big piece of music following a storyline. So Gurungma is the Tibetan name, and Sagarmatha is the Nepali name. So it's two sides of the mountain and two different, you know.
Jay, you know what I think happened was I went and fucking sequenced these in their lengths.
Oh, but, you know, it's fine. It all follows what it is.
Okay.
But,
okay.
But yeah, but those two pieces.
Wasn't intentional. So what we're getting is like the shortest going up to the longest.
Ah, okay. Well, it's fine. No worries. And then it kind of follows.
There's
kind of
10
follows
parts, and then we got the 11th one I got. Is something I found from you guys, Denver, 6 years ago, live.
Oh, nice.
Magnu, you know.
Oh, yes, of course.
The Hawkwind phase of The Pollution.
Yeah, of course.
Which is a huge phase. Anyway, not to get off the track here about the piece. So how does this fit in? Actually, their word for Mount Everest was probably a lot longer than the one Mount Everest.
Well, yeah, no, totally. And, you know, and again, it just shows the difference in language. You know, in the Tibetan side, it's the Chinese pronunciation is Chulmulangma. And because China, of course, doesn't acknowledge, you know, Tibet, you know, erroneously doesn't acknowledge Tibet as a country as it is. And the Nepali side, of course, is, you know, influenced by India and Britain, I'm sure, as well. But, you know, these are their native languages. So I thought the two pieces together were kind of a nice roll together to keep them both, you know, giving comps to both sides, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, probably also it comes from a time before nationalism.
Oh, yeah, no, of course, you know, and musically, the Drumulongma starts off with a very long instrumental piece and a very short rock song, and Sagarmatha is a long instrumental, kind of a bit of a raga based on the four guitar players we had in the band at the time. So everybody's getting their pieces.
You know
pieces.
What? I got that at the fucking beginning of the third hour, so we can get on. Don't want to ruin it for people. They were supposed to go together, but they're like an hour apart here, so sorry about that.
No worries.
Yeah. I should have. Yeah, I knew it was one big piece, but I forgot, like, if you don't put it in sequence. Well, obviously this is earlier in his life.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. Yeah, no, he was, you know, he had, in the 50s, he had, when he went and did Everest, that was before he had done most of, you know, most of his stuff. He had gone off and he'd been climbing, you know, there's the war years.
Your piece, is it like timeline? Is it tied to him that way? From little boy Hillary, the old man Hillary?
No, it doesn't follow that at all. Okay. No, it's just kind of flows around his historically. The earliest thought process pieces would be Beekeeper and Aotearoa.
Beekeeper, we're going to start the second hour off with.
Okay, cool. And it's just kind of more of a
But what about when you're making it? Did you make it in the sequence it ended up?
No, we didn't make it in the sequence. No, some of the pieces we put together at different times, you know.
In a way, you were flexible with your narrative?
Yeah, we were flexible with the narrative. But, like, when we were playing live, like, when we play with you and we would do these pieces together, we would do what would be, like, Kumulongma, or it would be, like, the Kumbu Icefall, which goes into Knocks the Bastard Off, which is this all
That's
part of
the
piece.
That's coming out in the second hour. Yeah, so you make, like, little medleys. Okay.
Right, exactly. And there's some pieces that were left out that we just never got finished because of the pandemic. There's a few outstanding pieces that were demoed and didn't make it onto the final record that are kind of out in the wings and that, you know, maybe at some point will be, you know, the other half of the record will come out. I mean, this is 40 minutes and I think we have about another 35 of demoing stuff we need to like re-demo. And that we can talk about later with the concept of a new project.
Okay, Kumulongma. So this was him actually doing the mountain climb, or it's more about the cultures around it? Or?
Correct.
Okay. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, March 25, 2024 edition. Live from Pedro Show. Special guest, Jay Fox from Portland, Oregon. Old time for hour two. March 25, 2024. It's the second hour of Live from Pedro Show.
Thank you. surrender to the pressing need for stability. Seeking to know everything. I don't know anything. You can't keep stealing things from me. Still no sign of land. Something occurred to me this morning, but it's not at hand. I've been drafting people into my elite unit. Special forces. Horses. We ride a door. We ride a door.
Watt for Pedro show. Start that chunk off with Pollution doing Beekeeper from the new album. Bobby Lee's Be My Enemy. Ben Salter out of Tasmania with Traffic. Pollution again. Knock the Bastard off. Actually, you referred to this tune, but you didn't talk about what it was.
Knock the Bastard Off was the quote that Ed Hillary came when he came down after climbing Everest. After they summited, they came down to the camp right below, and the boss of the expedition asked him, "Well, Ed, what happened?" And he said, "Well, we knocked the bastard off." And of course, that was hit with dismay because in the 50s, saying bastard on the national radio probably wasn't necessarily the coolest thing for someone to do, but it kind of coined in him, one, being a Kiwi, and two, literally just climbing the top of the mountain with one, him and his Tenzing, his Sherpa, made it to the top, so it was a bit of a prop for himself. And, that's, if you look at the record, it actually put the quote in the back of the record on the CD, because it's got, it kind of sums it all up. And, this was, Knock the Bastard Off was, pretty much our set opener. It's when we were play the piece live, it was usually start with, Knock the Bastard Off, then go into Yeti, and there was a third song called Blood on the Gompa Steps, which is another story from his adventures in the Himalaya. And those were the first three songs of the set, and we would drop into Kumulongma and follow the set, kind of through that set list path.
What about Beekeeper? Yeah.
Beekeeper, we kind of wrote it and put it into the set. People want lyrics and people want songs, and instrumental music scares a lot of people, and so we put some lyrics to it that are, it's kind of hit or missery about the theme, but it's Ed Hillary, if you were to ask him later in life and through his life what his profession was, he was a beekeeper. That was his family business, and they had kept bees up on the North Island on their family properties. They had a bee farm where they raised bees up above Auckland. And that was his career path was, he started off as a beekeeper and he ended up as a beekeeper in the end, So it's pretty cool when he,
What about the Sherpa man who helped him? What was his name?
Tenzing Norgay.
Yeah. Now, how did he meet him?
They kind of fell in together on the expedition, and Tenzing was legendary.
Only that one. Prior to that, he hadn't worked with him.
No, he hadn't worked with him. No, they met up and they hit it off, and they became great friends and followed each other through many adventures in the course of their lives.
But that was the first one. The big climb was the first one.
Yeah, that was his big climb as far as national, international.
And it was the first one. That's the first guy. I'm just wondering how they came in, just because he's looking for people to help him.
Right. They had hired a huge amount of Sherpas to help truck all their stuff up to the mountain, up to the base camp, and up higher up the mountain. And Ed and Tenzing he had a legendary status among the Sherpa community in the Himalayas prior to Ed Hillary even coming there. And he had worked with other people, and he was really well known. So of course, he was really really talented. So Hillary, got him as his partner to go up the mountain, and that's how they summited it together. And if you look at the pictures, they never said that I was first and I was second. They both summited it together. If you look at the photographs from the top of the mountain, the historic classic photo is the climber holding the ice axe in the air with the streamers of prayer flags off of it. Well, Ed took the picture of Tenzing, so the picture that the historical picture that went down on the AP news and all around the world was actually Tenzing. It wasn't Ed. He didn't grab the spotlight for himself at that moment.
Do you mention him in this piece?
There is a piece that was one of the songs that was a really great.
No, because what it reminds me of. This might be a far stretch, so you let me know, Jay. Lewis and Clark had a cat with. Well, they had two people with him. Actually, I think over two dozen at the beginning, but two major ones was this lady Sacagawea, who was carrying a baby at parts of this, and the other one was this brother named York. And like you never hear about York at all. It's just a little about Sacagawea. But Lewis and Clark would have never made their journey. And that's kind of up in your parts. Or the Columbia River that separate you with Washington State.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. No, I've been along the trail before, and we've gone out to the coast and seen the, you know, where they finally made it. You know, I've never followed the trail from its inception, obviously. That's quite an operation. But, no, it's
from St. Louis.
Yeah, no, I know. That was a chop-off point for all those.
William S. Burroughstown.
Yeah, no, I know. It's a long time, you know. It's a long haul across
America. Knew the languages and stuff, and the native people were tripping on York. You know, they thought he was part bear, which was a good thing, because bear is strength and all this. So in a lot of ways, yeah, but you never see, it's always just Lewis and Clark. You don't know about these other cats. No, anyway, no. Just an aside, let's play the Hillary step. Sounds like a dance move. Watford Pedro Show, the Chuck Music, started off the Pollution, doing the Hillary step. Then we had, this just came out not too long ago, Africa, Live at the Village Gate, 1961, John Coltrane. Eric Dolphy, Reggie Workman, big bass solo. McCoy Tyner, Alvin Jones. Pollution after that with Ganges River Jet Boat Blues. We're in India, right? Or how far does the Ganges get to Mount Everest? Not too close. Or how does Edmund Hillary figure in with that river?
The Ganges River obviously is the mother of all rivers, and it starts in the headlands in the Himalayas, way up in the headlands. And it was another Hillary adventure he was invited on, and they took like speedboats from the mouth of the river and went upriver all the way up to as far as they could physically go in these jet boats. And that was in the 70s. And it was a huge success, and it was, it was something that had never been done, and tens of thousands of people lined the banks of the river to see, Hillary go, up the river and see these boats go up the river to the headlands. And the basic plan was to leave them from the estuaries of the Ganges River and go to the headwaters and then climb a peak, one of the peaks of the mountains that are right there by the where the headwaters start at, and then they took the boats up, and then we couldn't go any further. They hiked up and up into the mountains, and they climbed the mountain, and that was their trip. So I thought that was worthy of a piece of music.
What about, I did a lot of years kayak and paddling, and man, jet skis. Whew. So maybe a jet boat's little car, probably not loud ass shit. Well,
you figure it was
dirty and fucking. Yeah, and then plus, in those times it was very unique.
And probably V8 motors running these boats up the river,
When these guys have put wakes up on you, they have no class. I mean, Mr. Hillary probably, hopefully, would. Yeah. So it just weirded me out because I knew it was kind of a unique and singular experience and stuff, but it just brought back memories of these clowns. They'd have to get perpendicular with their wakes. And the Hillary step, you say it's no longer there. This is actually a location, people, not a dance move.
Yeah, the Hillary step is like a right towards the very top of the summiting of Arab of Everest, and when you climbed up, you crossed over the Khumbu Ice Fall, and you climbed up further up the face of the mountain, and you got to this one rock piece that had this ice overhang that was right below the summit, and Hillary was the first person to use this. What they called the Hillary step, and he used whatever climbing move he used to get around that. And that became a legendary part of the climb, because when you get to that, if you're coming up that face of the mountain, the south face of the mountain, you have to come up through all of this to get there, start, way down the mountain, you're thousands of feet to climb. And then you'd get up, get up to this Hillary step and then climb up, then you can reach the summit. And
you're saying it's a big ass hazard.
Yeah, it was a big. You had to have your shit together to be able to pull it off. Right. But apparently, in 2015, there was a big earthquake, and we all heard about it in the news. But it rocked the Himalayas and caused a lot of death and a lot of destruction, and it knocked the Hillary face. The Hillary step was dislodged and fell off. So now that actual piece of the climb is no longer there.
And what's there? Is there a chasm or is there?
It's probably just more fit rock face, I would imagine. I'm not sure.
Do you know about this problem with garbage and shit?
Oh, yeah, it's horrible.
In his day, was it like that?
No, there was nothing. There was nobody there. No, there was some people who died. There was people who
I understand that. But this is more like a filth, a garbage problem.
That's no, that's, it's a problem with rich people climbing the mountain who can afford to buy their way up, and they just use oxygen bottles and drop them off on the way down, way up, and that's, you know, it's the same problem we have if you go to the, you know, where people walk their dogs and leave their poop on the dog poop on the ground, or a, you know, you go hike the Appalachian Trail and you find a baby's loaded diaper on the side of the trail.
Whoa.
You know, some damn fool doesn't think about what's going on around them, you know.
Okay. Yeah, and they can't have, like, clean-up crews and shit.
Well, they do, and they have
to. They do? So guys that just climbed it to clean up, not just for the adventure.
Yeah, there's people who go up and climb back down and try to pull stuff down. I'm sure it's a huge effort by a lot of Sherpas who, you know,
well, yeah, because it's kind of a it supports families and stuff.
Well, yeah.
Them helping
but
out.
But no, it's a travesty to think that people can't, you know, get over themselves. And I mean, it costs lots of money to get there. And I mean, nowadays there's people who are being carried up the mountain just about. You know, they're rich and they can afford to buy a ticket, basically.
You know, my buddy Richard fucking Bonney, he told me about going to Baja once. And there was this, went on this fishing boat. And they strap you in the back. They put the pole in your hand. They're pouring beers down your throat. They set the hook. Then they put the pole in your hand. And then they let the boat just tire the fish out as you're all just holding on to the pole, drunk ass.
Yes.
Like an industry for fucking lazy asses.
Well, yeah, no, totally. You know, no, I'm not much of a fisherman. I'm more let's just go out in the water and look at the sky and look at the waves and, you know, enjoy the day. I don't need to disrupt some animal's life.
Well, these are like sport fish because he said when they caught them, they gave it to the poor people on the beach because the meat is really oily and gamey.
Right.
So.
Well, we used to do the same thing when I was younger. We'd go fish on the Potomac and catch eels and catfish and give them to people who were just hanging around, guys who were fishing. There might be some old men sitting there fishing and say, hey, we got this eel. You want it? You know, and then take them.
Yeah, right, but, okay, that ain't the same, because we're talking about garbage, and that's hurting things.
No, it totally stinks, and it's a real problem, and they're going to have to eventually, now, I think, be...
When Hillary did, and those guys, you're saying there was just a different ethic because it was different people climbing?
Well, yeah, there's people who cared about, you know, more about what they were doing. What they were doing was epic and huge.
Well, he was a bait keeper, and what, climbing was his hobby?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Big contrast, but that makes big sense, though. Because then, you got your yin and yang.
Well, yeah.
Beekeeping to come out and climb it. Yeah. And, you know, beekeepers, they got to take care of their hives, make sure they're clean, make sure they're together, the colony is healthy. And maybe that those kind of ethics can be, you know, doesn't have to be a Jekyll and Hyde thing. He could, like, extend both worlds with both values.
Well, you know, I think being from New Zealand and there's a lot of, you know, the people seem in New Zealand for my time spent there traveling and, you know, transiting through, and I've spent a lot of time there. The people there seem to be on a different keel than a lot of people. You know, there's a lot more ownership of societal ownership of their nature, of their where they live. You know, they don't want, you know, your nuclear aircraft carrier coming in or your nuclear submarine. They want, you know, they want to keep their country pristine, and they don't want, you know, people to just come in and walk. They don't want, you know, to be bought out by, you know, rich investors. So it's, you know, it's a really good thing to see, you know, and have people to have a, you know, a planetary, you know, desire for something versus just being like, you know, I, me, and mine, like we tend to see in this country.
Yeah. And with the jet boats, I get that image of the jet skis, you know, and they're like, they're not the clean, they're pretty filthy.
No, they were just riding up like boats like we would consider, like, you know, which you see, like, you know, probably not like the boats we see nowadays, but, you know, back in the 70s, there's some pretty
big boats,
you know. Yeah, they were.
Have you ever heard of these race boats called, they're called cigarette lighters?
Right. Yep.
Yeah, and they're like, so you need three guys. One guy just to run the throttle. I mean, it's so radical. They could, you know, get airborne and Over here in Long Beach, they have a race with them in the Marina Pacifica thing, and they got big ass dragster motors in these boats, you know, and kind of like drag races.
I'm sure. You know, I'm sure that's what they had when they went up in the 70s. You probably had, like I said, they probably had V8 engines.
Yeah, right, right. Okay, we're at the end of the second hour. March 25, 2024, edition by Peterson, special guest, Jay Fox. Hold tight for hour three. March 25, 2024, it's the third hour of the Live from Pedro Show. Watford Pedro Show started off the third hour with Pollution doing Sagamatha. This was supposed to be coupled with Yeti People, but here it is an hour away in Wattland. Sorry about that shit. And we had Crane, not too far from you. He's up in the north of Idaho. The Love We've Been Waiting For. Shiverboard, Brand New. Vitamins of Darkness. And the Pollution with
Ateroa.
Ateroa.
Yep.
Okay, Ateroa. Enlighten us there.
Ateroa is the Maori name for New Zealand. It means the land of the long white cloud. And that's when the Maoris, the Polynesians, came and discovered New Zealand. They named, because there was, the islands, they came out of the ocean. They saw that there was cut the mountains in the Southern Alps and the northern in the volcanoes in the North Island. They saw the long clouds, and they their Maori word was, they made up, was Aotearoa, which is, if you go to New Zealand, and I mean, you've been to New Zealand, of course.
Yeah.
But everything there is written in both Maori and English. When you get there, it says welcome, and it says Ari Mai, and things like that. So, it's New Zealand is New Zealand to an Anglo, but it's, Aotearoa to a Kiwi, a Maori.
Yeah. And, Polynesian people, incredible sailors. Easter Island, Hawaii, Fiji, Samoa, all that. And they got DNA, kind of the sources, like Taiwan, way back.
Well, yeah, that's the
Can
whole
you believe quality. They paddled that far? I was reading about New Zealand, maybe the 800s, 700s. Before that, no humans ever lived. They don't have a history of humans on that island. Two islands, mainly.
Yeah, there was no natural predators on the island either until the English came.
That's right.
So they had giant birds like the moa, and all these birds that live in the ground. That's why the kiwis and these little small birds, they don't fly, and they had no natural predators. And of course, the English came and they brought in like rats off of boats and these poor
invasive birds, species and all kinds of shit. I know.
Right, cats.
Australia went through it too.
It's really decimated.
How does this figure in this tune with the Hillary story? Because that's his homeland, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Was he born there or did he come from England?
No, he was born there.
Okay. And Sagamatha.
Sagamatha is, let's say, the second half of the mountain part, okay. Of the Everest part.
It's so the part by Nepal.
Right, like I said, that's a the first part. If you're looking at it from chronologically, the first part, Kurilongma, is starts off with on the record is a lot of instrumental piece, a lot of throat singing, bells and sitars and things like that go along with it. And then it has a bit of a rock song. And then this piece comes in afterwards. And it was one of the last pieces we did before we buttoned up the project. That has like multiple guitar tracks stretched across. It's an interesting piece because the piece of music itself goes way back, I originally wrote this piece of music on the ice and performed it at a coffee house show where the band was playing at a coffee house, and it was tabla. It was a djembe, banjo, violin, and bass, and that was how it originated. And we brought this back up into the piece of music because we were looking for another raga type piece of music. There's, in the course of the record, there are, two or three different ragas that are in the piece. The Ganges River Jet Boat Blues is a raga. The Hillary Step is basically a raga. Keeping with the Himalayan style of, long-winded jams and stretchy pieces of music.
Well, speaking of wind, the last part that we ain't played yet is coming up next, and it's the Black Island Wind.
Correct.
Black
Life for Pedro show. That chunk of music, final one for this edition, started with Black Island Wind by The Pollution, the last of the Hillary piece. And, let me tell you the rest. Derek Montepetti with Garx, FOD, that stands for a flag of democracy. I heard there's one from Belgium, too, but this is the Pennsylvania one. Middle 80s, I think. David Gerarda from Massachusetts. No, he's in upstate New York these days. Unquit Storm. Oh, yeah, FOD with Let's Build a Wall. Let's have a war. Live at the Gooseneck Tavern in Denver, 2018. The Pollution. And their heavy Hawkwood face with Magnu. Great. When I listen to this, it reminds me totally of when we play with you. Maybe it was the same personnel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably was. We went through it. We propped ourselves with that Hawkwind stuff. It was always fun to play, and people liked it.
So let's get back to the Black Island Wind, the last piece of the big piece that you just did.
Black Island Wind was a field recording done in Antarctica. Black Island is, if you come into the Ross Sea, if you're coming from the north, you've come up through the Ross Sea over the sea ice. To your right would be the Transantarctic Mountains, and to the left would be Ross Island. Well, at the end of the bay is, there's two islands. There's an island called Black Island and an island called White Island. And they're kind of like glacier locked from the McMurdo ice shelf and the Ross Sea ice shelf. Black Island has a high promontory, and there's our radar stations are set up there, television and radar communications. There's big ray domes up there. And, I had a friend who was working out there, and he took along a recorder for me and recorded, about 3 hours of wind blowing in and around the ray domes. And, we took that wind track and put this piece together with some other different sounds, you know, some found instruments, there's lots of different things going on in the background that we kind of, you know, inserted into it. So it's kind of a found piece with field recordings. So it kind of falls into a different style. And I know we had talked about this before, you know, cause it's like 8 minutes long, but it's got quite a lot going on in the 8 minutes. It's not unlike a, you know, any other soundtrack type music you might hear. But I remember you asking us before in one of the preview shows about, well, how long does the wind blow there? And it's like, it blows like 24 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week. And it's like, the 8 minutes isn't long.
Rollins, Wyoming. I don't think the wind ever stops in Rollins, Wyoming.
Yeah, Wyoming is a wind tunnel for sure. Yeah.
You were saying there's something going to be different with the next chapter.
There's a handful of pieces left. You know, one of them is about Tenzing Norgay. You know, and it's got a kind of a really interesting kind of poppy punk front end, and it kind of ends in a kind of Dengue Fever kind of quiet Asian feel to it, which is really fascinating. And it's that's one. And there's a piece about Scott Bass, which is when Ed Hillary went down in the International Geophysical Year to create McMurdo Station for the Americans. He went down and they created Scott Bass, which is the New Zealand Antarctic Program base. They're side by side on Ross Island. And I posted a thing on Facebook and asked one word that describes Scott Bass to you. And I got all kinds of words. And I wrote this, it's basically just a bass and drum piece. I mean, it may have like a horn kind of thing with it, some sort of sax or something. I haven't quite found that one yet, maybe a clarinet. But it just follows this one repetitive riff, and the words are spoken. So it's a spoken word piece. So it's, you know, it's really just a bass part, you know, with a soft drum pack behind it and the spoken word pieces that go with it. There's a couple other pieces that were originally reported. We demoed but never got finished. There's one called Tractors to the Pole, which was when Vivian Fuchs decided they were going to drive tractors to the South Pole and cross Antarctica. He was coming from East Antarctica across from the Weddell Sea, and Ed Hillary was supposed to come up from the Ross Sea region and lay food caches and fuel caches. Well, Hillary made great time and got there first, and that was, you know, a bit of a contention. And it's funny, we played a live. I played a live once. I was like, okay, they're driving these tractors and they're really slow and it just takes forever to get there. And we played the song, and it's kind of a fast, almost like a Dick Dale-ish fast surf song. And I remember we finished the song in this one particular performance, and someone was like, well, these tractors are so slow, why is the song so fast? And it's kind of like, you know, so it's kind of one of those things. But there's a few other pieces left that are still kind of kicking around that what I'm hoping to do is work with some people here. I've got a drummer in mind I want to work with and lay down bass and drum tracks on all the new pieces. And then, you know, I can have Matt and Mike and Bill, some of the guys from the original Pollution guitar players, they can come out and overdub, but we can do it, you know, through the internet and get the second half up and finished. The record is available through discord.com. So if you wanted to buy a copy, it's available through Discord.
Thanks so much for being on the show, Jay. People, it's been March 25, 2024 edition. Wife Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.